Shaped by Sound combines performance and conversation to capture the depth of the North Carolina music scene. There isn't much that lives outside the musical universe of Winston-Salem native Sonny Miles. While his music may float through genres and can be hard to define into a single source of inspiration, his musical universe continues to expand and is now brighter than ever. Today on the Shaped by Sound podcast, we're in conversation with Sonny Miles and bassist Slim Herc.
So, Sonny Miles?
Indeed.
You're from Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
Indeed, the Trey.
The Trey? I feel like your music is not just one thing, it's like so many things. And I'm so excited that you're on our show, Shaped by Sound. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So, I kind of wanted to start out just right off the top from Winston-Salem. What was it like to be growing up in Winston-Salem? Because I'm from Greensboro. So I'm right next door. But what was that like for you growing up in Winston-Salem?
So I think the only difference between Winston and Greensboro is the neighboring towns.
Yeah.
I don't know how many. I think y'all had like Jamestown or something.
Yeah, which is named after me. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we have that Jamestown, like High Point sort of jammed in the middle.
So it's like there's some neighboring cities, but for us, it feels like there's a lot of smaller sects of towns that have their own kind of vibe and energy.
Yeah.
So in living in the outskirts, just naturally affected by like just the pace. Everything's slow. Everything's more country. Everything's a little bit more to your own devices.
Yeah.
Just a lot of time to reflect. So in that regard, the music becomes a lot of a reflection. It's much more of like a, all right, this is what I'm influenced by, not necessarily what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I can make do with what I have because I'm not really in an accessible place. We moved around a lot. So just always taking the influences of where you're going. My grandparents, though, from the country.
So yeah.
That's where, like, that root is, you know?
Interesting. So I was going to ask you, you know, how does that sort of leak into your music, right? That early stages of, you know, your grandparents and just, like, that open space where it feels like you have to create on your own.
Just very Southern, very churchy as well.
Yeah.
So those are the easy two influences. I think I'm more influenced by, if not church music and gospel music, a sort of soulful kind of country, I think, thing. It really just permeates a lot more than anything else. I think the easiest thing is like R&B, or maybe pop. Obviously, pop music is accessible, but those are like the two things. A little bit more blues-oriented. I like jazz as well, but
yeah. So it's interesting. Again, like it feels like you're like what you're making is a combination of so many things. I'm kind of curious though, like I'm just kind of going back to Winston-Salem. Do you think that there's like a Winston-Salem sound?
Oh man, I wish.
Yeah.
I wish there was. We're all so weird and different. And I think that's a greater testament to North Carolina too. However, there's just nothing centralized about it. As much as we could be like, there's a type of hip hop sound, I really don't think there is either. So the beauty is everyone can just force their own path and they're also kind of forced to.
Yeah.
Like you can't really afford to sound like you're from Atlanta. You don't really have these New York roots. I can't say LA ever had a sound.
Right.
But in certain regions you could tell. So everyone's just got their own vibe.
So I guess I want to kind of jump back for just a second and talk a little bit about your journey. So you said kind of like it sort of started in this like church roots. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Played drums in church. Didn't want to sing. Didn't really know I could sing.
You didn't want to sing?
Nah, I was good on that. Nah, my dad, he was a singer. So And then also, of course, I grew up in an older form of like church. If you're going to sing, you know, you kind of, you know, you got to be, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I didn't like the pressure of being in church because it's like I'm not really trying to be religious and you can't really be in and out.
Right.
At least when I was coming up. So it's like, all right, so I found refuge in the drums. I ain't have to do nothing, you know what I'm saying? I'm chilling in the back. But around, I'd say 13, 14, I began to just appreciate hip-hop, lyricism, write poems, you know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really, again, start singing until I was about 17. And then I started playing the guitar at 18, 28 now. So it's been a cool 10-year journey. It was always kind of like, oh, I guess I'll try this thing out. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm solid.
Yeah.
And then you continue to progress and it's like, oh, okay, I just got to shaping this up.
So I kind of want to touch on that just a little bit too. So it seems like, because you're still such a young guy, Right. But you found your voice at like in your late teens and didn't really even like commit to singing until a little bit later than that.
Yeah.
What's that journey sort of like been like as you're like figuring that out?
So thankful for undergrad.
Undergrad at
NC State.
Oh, right on, go Pack.
Go Pack, you know. But it was cool. I was athletics, ran track and soccer. So I just went to a play, and going into my senior year of high school, like, all right, I guess I'll just see about a play. So it was always just, okay. Mm-hmm. I think if I could have a motto, I think that would be my journey in music. Like, if the opportunity provided itself, I'd give it a go. An old acquaintance of mine was like, well, no one's told me I'm bad. So I guess I'll keep it going. And at NC State, the same thing happened. I'm just playing the guitar. It's something that I felt diligent about, practicing in the stairwells and stuff. But it seemed to me that any opportunity I get, I just go for it. But it was just a very gentle development. You get an opportunity your sophomore year. You do something your junior year. I was very much convinced it wasn't really going to be a thing. Like, I was still getting internships. I was still trying to find a real job, like work a real, you know, because that's why I'm in school. Mm-hmm. And plus, I just started when I was 18. So I think 22 is when I finally start to forge a path of like trying some stuff. But it's just been exploration.
Beyond just like this idea of like, well, nobody's told me that I'm not good, so I'll keep going. Has there been things that have happened to you where you're like, this is good. And I want to trust this path right now.
About 10 years ago, I'd had what was formerly called the Black Symposium at NC State. We had a talent show. My mom was like, you should do it, whatever. So I did it. It was like 10 of us. But I'm just playing the guitar. I had just started. So I'm kind of just flubbing around, having a good time. And I remember just the people, the way I was playing, it was only the 1 and 3. It was kind of like, dun, dun, gada, gada. And then everyone started clapping like this. Dun, gada. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the reception was cool. And then from that point began the steamroll of, hey, can you play over here? Or like, hey, that was solid. Do you want 10 minutes over here? So had it not been for that, without a doubt, because I think it steamrolled everything else. Someone was like, I believe in that. And then you do a good job in that next thing. And someone was like, cool, you should do this.
So that performance sort of opened up this sort of just faith that you could continue to do this because people were trusting in you and giving you extra space to do it.
Yeah. And not knowing now, or I guess not knowing then, but understanding now, just the ability to adjust in that moment, some intangibles. All the years of playing drums in church very much prepared me for like, all right, I think I'm ready to like do this thing. It all can still feel new at times just because this wasn't what I was like, felt like I was trained to do.
What do you mean by that?
So many of my music friends are like, yeah, I started playing when I was 7. You know, like, oh, I went to a conservatory. So I resonate with people's feelings of like, I'm not quite equipped yet. Because the more you progress, the more you're going to get around some dogs who've been doing this for a long time. And like, if your chops aren't in order, like, you really got to shape it up.
Yeah.
So all you can do is just keep progressing at the level you are. And, you know, take the signs as they come.
Do you still, it seems like there's pressure there. Do you feel like there's pressure?
Nah, but I want to be great.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who, and that doesn't have to be about being greater than anyone else or being the best, but I want to be great. And I see greatness all around me. And then greatness is like, yo, you got it. So I'm like, yo, let me, like, you know, I'm always a little nervous before a show, but I'm never like unprepared.
So you're just, I guess you're kind of just saying you're ready to step up and just
absolutely
just drop it.
I try not to impart too much pressure on myself because ain't nobody really putting it on me. But when it's your time to show up, they're going to be looking at you like, you got to step up. So I just try to keep that in the back of my mind and try not to have it weigh on me too much either.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that because I feel like in your performance, you can really like see you like stepping up and just being like, this is exactly who I wanted to present. And just seeing that you let go is really, really cool. It almost feels like a jazz thing where like you're just like letting it take you wherever you want to go and just trusting, right? And trusting in their band, right?
Straight up.
To just like, let's ride this vibe. I wanted to touch base a little bit on the name Sonny Miles. Can you kind of expand a little bit on where that came from?
So I used to tell people it was something my grandpa gave me. He didn't give me that. It was from Sonny Stitt and Miles Davis. I don't know what it was about Sonny Stitt in particular. And you know, as an 18-year-old, I'm like, oh, Miles Davis. Like, yeah, cool, whatever. And I was super into jazz. I thought it was different. I thought it was new, you know. But I admired a lot of not only how cool he was, but also how varied he was. I think, anyway, he's just, outside of his innovation, he was always like, okay, what I did last year, I'm done with it. I'm going to go do something new. Whereas, you know, a lot of people will kind of get stuck in things. I also loved Sonny Stitt's interviews. He's got a slew of them on YouTube. I don't know why I was gravitated towards them around the age of 18, 19. That's when I made up the name. But I also love Sonny Stitt. He was just like, I'm going to play with everybody. Hmm. Like, I love it. Like, he has so many records, and he's played with so many, like, legends. So I like how both of them not only continue to journey and expand themselves, but also, like, their skill set, too. Like, they were just really great musicians and players. So I can't say I model myself after them, but I can't say that name stuck. I would, like, petition it to people. I'd be like, how you feel about this name, that name? I still be doing it all the time. Like, I always think about outfit names. I'm always thinking about names and stuff.
Yeah.
But I told it to a deacon at my dad's church. I say 18. And he was like, Sonny Miles. And it's crazy. Like, you go anywhere, everybody in the band say my name some type of way. Everybody be saying some type of way. So it's just funny. It's like a running joke now. So I love it.
Well, I think it's great. I hope it's not a joke, because, I mean, to me, it's not. To me, it really encapsulates a lot of what you're trying to do. And it seems like, as well, like, I'd like to know a little bit more about how those influences feed into this music you're making.
Oh, I was really off that jazz stuff until last year. I don't know what was going on. Yeah. I believe in the Saturn return for real. So, like, I'm just now, like, I feel like I'm really coming back to who I was. I feel like things that I used to love are finding me again.
Okay.
In a weird way. So I'd say now that I'm coming back to it, I see exactly why I was fond of them. Mm. Like, they're...
Like, what are you coming back to?
Just not being influenced by what I feel like things... Like, what things will work.
Okay.
I think... At 20 to 25, impressionable. I gotta do this. I feel like I gotta. Don't nobody like the things I'm making. The things I'm making don't really make sense yet. Mm. I've always not done what people wanted me to do as far as my art.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's not paying off, you're like, all right, I think I'm doing the wrong thing.
Oh, so you're kind of adjusting based on other people's thoughts.
Absolutely.
And so you're saying now you're like, no.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is actually what I like to do. And also, it's like the things I loved, I know how to integrate that with who I am now in a way that feels real to me.
Yeah, well, how are you doing that now?
Oh, man, jazz samples out the wazoo. I'm also taking licks, and like the way people like Lester Young will sing, I'm like, okay, I can take that run and I can sing that. Or like I'm hearing harmonies. I'm also not as obsessed with like certain jazz people. Like I'm a little bit deeper in the journey now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going heavily like back into music, or just like house music as well.
Yeah.
I'm not really listening to as much lyrical stuff or things with words, ironically. I'm really getting into like how people play things and then how I can like utilize that in a way.
Well, so it's interesting because like you know, this morning I was listening to that EP you put out, just party music.
Yeah.
And it's sick. But it is like that house music vibe. I feel like you took the like what you were doing with this like jazz, R&B, hip hop, and sort of just transforming it a little bit into this like house music. And it really works.
I sent the sample, one of those songs for the party. I sent that to my homie Tobias, and it was a jazz sample, and he just did his thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves house music. So also I feel, you know, in creating and growing with people, I have a lot of friends who can do a lot of things. So now it's like, all right, you can do this really well. We've bonded and hung out as vibe, you know. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
Usually don't do house music. Let's try that. Or like, I don't do, you know, folk music. Let's try this. Just so because we're, you know, growing.
Do you feel like you're going to see yourself continue to go down that
Absolutely.
Path?
I aim and hope that Sonny Miles can be like one facet of creativity. And I hope it can be as vast and varied as possible. And not in like some sort of like hyperbolic way. Like, I'd love to really do like a folk album, like a funk album. I'm not the craziest jazz musician, but, like, can I be around some heavy hitters and not just make sounds?
You know,
like, can I, like, try to make some compositions with these guys? Like, how, or people, you know, how far can I go in my creativity?
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you're really trying to just forge a path that's your own, but also like be collaborative. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about collaborating with us on this show, which you've been outstanding with. Thank you so much. One of the things, we had a brainstorm with you early on, and we were like, Sonny, if there's anything that you'd want to articulate visually in your show, like, what would you do? And you said, Astro Afro, like, immediately. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about that? Because, like, I feel like we went down just a rabbit hole with that, and it was so awesome, and you had all these ideas.
Man, Gamma is a definitely extension of, like, a long Afrofuturism kind of push. I know there can be a bit of a critique about, like, Blackness always needing to escape. So I didn't really necessarily want to do that, but I did want to reimagine a sort of sonic landscape that is different from what we are being proposed nowadays. Obviously influenced by the Sun Ra's, the Nona Hendrixes, the Parliament Funkadelics, not only in their aesthetics, but just like in their ability to be like, yo, we're going to make this crazy sound. So knowing that I had an opportunity to make something happen, I'm like, yo, let's cook. Like, I mean, you just have to trust in people's abilities. So on our calls, I'm like, all right, they say they can make some orbs, or they say they can make this backdrop, facts. But then you show up and it's like, it's crazy. I didn't really know what all to give, but I figured if I can give, you know, live concerts, and if I can give planets, and I could give colors, and I can give the moods and the themes of the songs, they'll probably be able to shape and, you know, do what they can, because they're artists and creatives too.
Right.
A long journey in just working with others is really trusting in their genius as well and in their abilities. You do kind of have to guide folk, but I'd rather like be like, hey, here's a map, and then you know where to kind of go off in the map. Like,
right.
You can be in this road, but like feel free to go outside the lines. And I think I prefer to keep that with everybody. It was cool to work on Afro Astro. It was, I don't know, I just love galactic. I love just imagining what Blackness can also be and what it can also sound like in another realm that isn't just, you know, this planet. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And we loved it, too. It was such a pleasure to figure out what ways we could work with you. And thank you for kind of introducing that theme to us, because, you know, it was one of those things where I think we got to have that creative liberty to kind of go with you on that journey. And that felt like, that felt really great. I want to talk to you about Gamma a little bit more.
X.
So when you started producing Gamma, like, what were you intending to do?
Oh, it's always been a sort of land for me. My biggest thing and my biggest concern about Gamma was just like landing as a creative. Like, this is okay. He sounds like himself. I wanted, and I wish it could have happened a little bit earlier.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I wish I didn't listen to so many people, and I wish I stopped, like, asking people what they thought about songs, like, 2 years ago. However, the process was amazing, because last year, being able to tour these songs and seeing what worked and what didn't, and to learn, okay, like, this type of thing will work for people, crucial. So I think every step of the way was just sharpening the knife. I say I started working on it 2021. That's when I really started working with Tobias, Bri Decisive, Akira. That's when, I don't know, at the end of 2020, everyone was just like, yo, what you doing, bro? What's up, bro? I gotta cook. So you're starting to meet a lot of young people who are kind of like sitting in the shadows. I feel like I too was as well. So 2021, we're writing and building, trying songs, getting interest from deals, holding out on music, because it's like, I might get signed. That falling through, 2022, same thing. Learning from the lessons of last year, you know, changing up songs, but then you're starting to get a little bit in your head, you're starting to question a little bit more. And then thankfully you got a band though, but they're here to like help you and just like you can build those songs up, you can still play shows. And then 2023 is like, I think everything got secure. A lot of the earliest ideas of 2021 were really able to be finalized and entrusted in 2023.
So that was a 2-year journey.
Absolutely. And then dropping it at the top of this year, in February, but I really feel like the time of it was really 2021 to like 2023.
Yeah. What was, I mean, for it to take 2 years, what's that like? I mean, is it, I mean, it seems like it was a lot of pressure. Again, we're talking about pressure, but it seems like you were really like on a self-discovery mission through for 2 years of time and going through a lot of ups and downs. I mean, especially with record labels are involved and getting signed. I mean, gosh, I can't imagine what that's like.
Doing a lot of reaching.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of reaching. Because it's not just about you anymore. It's about what is able to also work and hopefully make a return on someone's investment in yourself. So you got to be like, how you feel about this song? And they'll be like, I mean, it's cool. But then also be like, but I want you to release what you want to release. So at a point in time, eventually the noise has to stop. And it's really just about figuring who you believe in, who you really want to trust in, and who you want to send these songs out to. Now it's like, I might send it out to one person. I might not even send it out anymore. Of course, it got sent to the band because we're going to play the song. But even then, they're going to take it and then just like, which is what I want them to do.
Right.
Like, I'd rather them just like destroy it, like bring this thing in. Oh, I like that arrangement. Bring that in. So it just took a long time to grow and get grow back in comfort with your decisions. I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never feel like this isn't going to work just because. So I think that was a part of my journey more than anything. I feel Gamma was more about learning to trust myself and my voice and my creativity as I wanted to be on this landing journey. But even Slam told me in November, like, you know, this ain't going to be the thing for you, right? He was like, you know, it's going to be another one. Like, and I needed that so much because it helped me be like, okay, nothing has to work on this.
Right. So like, Gamma can just be Gamma, and then there could be the future.
And we keep pushing.
Right.
And I'm really thankful for that and for all the people that were like, yo, like, just drop that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just like, put it out.
That's awesome. One thing I wanted to ask you too about this record is there feels like there's a lot of love influence this record.
Absolutely. I mean, you be hearing top 40 or you just hear, you know, R&B radio. I'm like, man, we are just like all of our messages are homogenized. And I understand why they have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Like, we ain't got to go into all that. But like, I don't want to just be limited to just the worst parts about love. And I feel like we don't have anybody just making love songs that are about growing in love. And it doesn't have to end in this like travesty, and it also doesn't have to, like, I wish I could have gone deeper into like the ways love is awkward and the ways like I want this but like low-key I got, and like I'm trying to, but I don't want it to be negative. I don't want it to be so entrenched in just like sex and lust. It's just so tired,
right?
Straight, I mean, up and down, like, it's tired.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of, I mean, when we're talking about love, it feels like that's one of the largest questions we've been trying to answer as a human race, like what that is, defining it, and there is no answers, right? So to dip into that and go outside the physical side of it and to get into like the metaphorical and the deeper side of it, it seems like a journey that's always going to bring out questions and different answers and beauty, right?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. One other thing I want to ask you too is sort of a harder question. But this show is called Shaped by Sound. Kind of the goal of what we want to talk to folks about is, you know, how music influences your world, how it changes you, how it impacts you. How do you think that you've been shaped by sound?
Oh, sound is so much more than just, it's like, I don't just want to hear music. Like, what does, if I think about what North Carolina sounds like, I want to think about the birds. Like, I quite literally think about the road and the way that the road sounds. The rivers, the cicadas. These sounds and their rhythms have had a profound impact on me. Just being around nature, being from the Carolinas. I think I'm always listening to what is just in my, I guess, arena or my aura. It's not just this music thing, or it's not just what I can make right here. How can sound be heard in other ways? So I think how a lot of my sound has been shaped is in my environment. Like a clock in my nana's house and how it goes off every hour, or like a new song that comes on with it, you know.
Does it feel like a bunch of little things that just add up?
It does. I feel my sound is more than anything else just surrounded with nature, surrounded with the ways that Carolina speaks as well, the ways that I guess my family, that how they just live and move in their life. I think that has a profound effects on me. It's hard to say all the ways I've been shaped by sound, but I know more than anything else, I'm always listening to my environment and the weird sounds that you feel like probably don't matter, that shapes me. Absolutely.
Mm. Like your nana's clock.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Little rooster.
Yeah.
You know, throwing rocks, man, and hearing a rock hit the tree, like y'all don't even know, man. I used to just throw rocks and hear how it would just, and then that right there, you can just hear something, mm-hmm. all that time to yourself. So.
Yeah, and the cicadas too, especially this year. I feel like we got just swamped with that.
You know, the bird chirps, like you can resonate with the sounds. Man, I still live out in the country, so sometimes I'll just sit up on the porch and just like listen to them sing. So, but I like to infuse that in my music.
Right.
You know, I'd rather you hear all the crazy things going on.
Yeah, you do get those nature sounds throughout Gamma, which is really cool.
Try to switch it up a little bit.
I love that. Well, great. I would love to kind of go through what you're going to play for us today, and I think we're going to bring in Slim to do that. So maybe this would be a good time to bring in Slim, and we can kind of chat through some of the songs. All right, so we've got Daniel, Slim, Maxwell joining us now. You are part of the Sunny Miles group here, the band that we've got on stage. Thank you for joining us, man.
It's a pleasure.
Sunny has told us how much of an impact you are on this music, and I really want to jump into that with you both while you're here. I wanted to really ask you one thing first. It just seems like you all have so much fun playing together. Do you feel like you do? Like, do you feel like you just go up there and like have fun?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's just, I think how we started before I was calling him Slim, before he was like, yo, call me Slim. Like, we were just chilling. It was so much of it was just jamming. He like welcomed me in like, hey, we're just going to play. And like, we're going to do that. Like, it wasn't made with any pretense. Anytime we had something to do, he was just like, yo, just trying to have a good time.
What's that musical relationship like? Like, what do you feed off of for both of you? Like, when you kind of step up together, like, what's something you're like, oh, man, that's why we're playing together?
I feel it's probably trust and understanding, because now he can switch stuff up and the rest of the band can be like, all right, we watching him real quick, because he know what I'm probably thinking. You know what I mean? So I think now more than anything, just the constant reps have provided like security. And now we can just get off track. Or if he goes somewhere else, I can be like, whatever. Like, it'll be all right. Like, he's gonna get us back. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think we spent so much time just together in music. And there's times where he's just sat down and said, can you play me this? And he just go boom, 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 boom. And I'm just like, I'll figure it out. Then we've done that so much to where it actually makes sense now. And so like we have that trust. We push each other to get better and to bring new things in every time we do a new show. So like the past like 3 or 4 shows, we haven't done none of these songs the same way. Because we're trying to always do something different. Always trying to be like, hey man, how we switch this up? So I think that's key to like building the type of relationship that we have.
Yeah, so if you're going to experiment, it does take a lot of trust to know that the other person can join you on that ride. Right?
Also know what you need. Like, he did something crazy maybe 3 weeks ago where I was just practicing my scales. We were working on the modes, and without even asking, he puts on a metronome. Now, for musicians, you know how important it is to practice to a metronome, mm-hmm. but to not even have to ask about it. And then he joined in. So we're just doing it in unison for like 30, 45 minutes. But it was on some like, I'm just doing it by myself. He's doing something. He's probably doing something. Yeah, he's probably getting ready to do something. But he can just like stop and he's like, oh, he need a metronome. And we're not even having a conversation. And then he's like, okay, we're about to play. Mm-hmm. So just knowing when it's like time and when it's not, and not having to even speak about it.
Yeah. And how does that sort of translate to like a record when you're like making a record with each other?
Man, I think the first real record we kind of went crazy on that wasn't like something else was Righteous. We made this song called Righteous, and he just like made up his own bass line. So we're just like sitting in the living room, enjoying ourselves. He hears and he cooks. And I don't have to think twice. If I want to change something, I could, but unless I'm hearing something in my head, I'm just letting him cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anytime he's like, hit me up to like put something down on something, it's always, I've always come in with the headspace of whatever he needs, I'm gonna try to give it to him. But it's really come to the part where like he's like, dude, I want whatever you want on the track. And so it changed from like, hey, does this sound all right? To like, hey, I'm gonna do this. Mm. And he's like, yeah, do that.
So what are some of the things that you like to bring to this like sound that y'all are developing together?
I like to really, I feel like I'm the anchor of like the funk and gospel aspects of what we bring. A lot of like the changes and stuff that we do in our shows is changes that I've developed from playing in church. A lot of my feels are very like funk based and we both love funk. We both come from church. A lot of our other bandmates have some experience in the other genres like jazz and stuff. So they bring those influences in. And when those mix together, it makes a beautiful thing.
It definitely does. And I'm really, really glad that we get to have it in our studio and we get to see you all sort of make that happen live. I want to go through some of the songs real quick and just kind of get your take on them and sort of understand them a little bit more. And I maybe want to start out with Runaround. When y'all were putting that together, when you're arranging that, what's that like?
So Phil made the arrangement. As we are learning, oftentimes we're working off what a producer has sent. There's a few songs on that list, though, that we didn't have producers.
Yeah.
So it'll change. But as far as Runaround, we're more copying and pasting, where we challenge ourselves is like, all right, how can we not be bored? So
somebody gave you sort of like a sample or something, and y'all were like, how do we make it our own thing? Is that, am I, did I interpret that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it comes after having made the song out and like flushed out, like Daniel knows it by the time it's even about to be put out, where we switch up is like, all right, well, what can we do in the second verse? All right, we can drop it to this chord and then drive it this way. I think that just comes from him like toying around with a different thing in the scale. Like shout out scales, straight up. Like
scales and substitutions.
For real. Like if it's on the two, like what would this six sound like? Mm. And that would completely distort the whole thing. I'm just now learning my numbers for real. But he been like, yo, play the four. And then, you know, Soul over there talking about a flat seven, a flat five. I'm like, bro, what is this chord? But in essence, we take the foundation of what someone, at least for Runaround, gave us, and we're like, all right, we have to just eliminate all the parameters. So he added a really cool bass line for that second verse. And then we do it again at the end. All he's thinking is, yo, if we bring it back, could we do it this way?
Mm.
So Runaround is more like alternates and bass, but a lot of it was based off of what Phil made. Shout out to Kraft.
Phil Kraft.
Well, he goes by Kraft, but his name is Phil.
Oh, sorry. Shout out Kraft. So what about like the tune and like the feel and like the vision for Runaround? What is that?
Oh, I thought it was that 3/4 time and the sample that's originally made to it. It just felt very somber.
Mm.
But in that moment, I kind of turned it into like anger. So I'm like, all right, now we can make it a little bit more rocky or a little bit like stronger.
Mm-hmm.
He and I are very in the soul inclination. I think there's also some rock in there too. I think funk and rock are very much extensions of the same, but like, you know,
yeah,
that's what we,
especially with like Parliament, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like that's like a nice fusion there, right? Where they're getting into that funk, but also there's like rock elements that just take off.
We have that in us a lot. Mm-hmm. Though we seem chill.
We both seem very chill.
We be turning up, you know, especially on that stage. So I think Runaround is probably the best example of like, all right, we can give them a little bit more of us mm-hmm. in a way that they might not get for a lot of the set.
Mm. Let's transition into Over and Over. What is sort of the thinking into that? Because I feel like that's a big song on Gamma.
A huge song last year as well, and still I think it's definitely a staple of ours. Groove. A lot of the bass lines we're working with can be a bit behind the beat.
Okay.
And in production that works, but in a live setting that might not.
Mm.
So the way that Over and Over has this almost delay thing on the record, we really got to drive it more on the live. Like, you kind of got to lock it in because people are here to dance, right?
Yeah.
So originally I was trying to have Daniel play like the record, and then I'm like, that's not really going to work. But he still drives it and like delays it a little bit too. Like, he's not too over the beat either. Hmm. So it's just adjustments. Shout out to Kim, Kim Spruell, yes. Kim Brulé. She made the beat. She is nuts. Like, he's probably the first person I sent it to. And then he's just learning in there. Do we have a change up in there somewhere?
Some subs, yeah.
Yeah. And then we get to cooking on the ends, like, how we gonna end the song? Mm-hmm. How we gonna begin the song? So the same tag we had, Kim didn't put that in there, but we like, you know, take that tag, we gonna end it. So yeah, that's some thoughts. I don't know if you have any.
Shout out to is it Modre?
Modre.
Modre wrote he put the bass line on there on the record. And so when I heard it for the first time, I was just like, oh God, I can't wait to play this. And so, yeah, when I got my hands on it, I just put my own influence on it when we're doing it live, you know, pushing it just a little bit more, like you said, not as far behind the beat as on the track, because, like, the track is more like a groove, but when you do it live, we want people to dance a little bit more, so.
Yeah, I want to touch on that. Like, what is that like when you're just like, this is a dance track, like, I can't wait to play this, like, what's it like seeing people interact with it once you're doing it, specifically for this song, right? Like,
that's a good question, yeah. You go ahead.
Keep it going. Like, you don't want to lose people. And in our influences, it becomes so pertinent that you see why they just drive songs. You see why they just stay in a pocket. Because all this extra stuff be making people like what you know, they moving, but they asking, like, what they doing? Mm-hmm. So it's in those moments where you get a good pocket and you see people grooving that you're almost like, yo, we got to stay right here. Or like, nah, just stay where you are. You get the importance of being in pocket because it's really not about you. Like, you are the conduit of what's giving people some life. So you really got to keep that life.
Right.
Yeah. Straight up and down. Like, and I love that we know chops and we know feels and stuff like that. Time and a place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also the honor that, you know, the composers of the arrangements aren't too married to people's interpretations of them either. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be one thing if, you know, you're working with people and they're like, why are you playing my song different? Like, what's up with that? But, you know, Modre be like, it's love. Yeah. He's like, yo, I love that version. Or like, Kim's like, yo. So
that's really cool. For people that don't know, explain what it means to be in the pocket.
Oh.
If you can. I know that's kind of a hard thing to describe, right?
Yeah. Being in the pocket is pretty much the groove that you're supposed to feel going through the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to have this feeling that is established by the band. Usually the drums and the bass usually get that locked in for you. It usually takes about 2-3 times around to get it. So like, when over and over, you hear that, third time around, you locked in. That's right. The pocket.
Yeah.
You don't want to do anything that's going to distract people from still locking in on that.
And identifying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's it. You see how everybody's head's still bobbing. We're not even playing anymore because the pocket is in there.
That's very true. Cool. I love that. Let's talk through Quiet. Because that's a bonus track.
Yeah. It's probably a bonus just because we did it so much. I feel like, you know what I'm saying? That's probably one of the first songs we really like doing that in this phase of Gamma were songs. Like, Quiet was probably the first song that not only people knew, but we had our first headlining show in August and people knew the song just because it was like, it was fire, but also because, like, you know, we've been doing it. That arrangement has grown exponentially. It was originally a house number, so we turned it a little bit more like Latin. I still want to make it even more Latin. Mm. But, you know, we switch up when Daniel and I get bored at the, again, like these turnarounds. So we'll get bored. Like, all right, what can we do? I don't know when we made that bridge or the intro in to the second verse. I don't know when we made that.
We did it a couple times before we even made it. Yeah.
But that's something we definitely worked on quite a bit together. I'd say that was probably one of our earliest.
Quiet was a project for Fredo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First Class, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the projects.
It was
a
project for
Fredo. So that was a song for somebody else.
Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah, y'all were like, can we just keep it?
Straight up. Shout out to Bri Decisive. Awesome producer, house producer as well, and he just gives us the bare bones. That was one of those instances we've definitely made this arrangement quite a bit. Because, like, he gave me that loop. I even pitched it a half step or three steps down, something like that, just to make it crazier. And then Daniel's like, okay, let's take that from there. But
what's sort of, like, the identity of that song beyond just the technical side?
Oh, man, flirtatious, fun, talking junk. That was when I was in my backseat era.
What's that mean, your backseat era? You can explain. It's okay. You can explain it to us. If you want to or not. Is it one of those, like, maybe, yeah.
You know, 2020 we was inside, 2021 we was outside.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Okay.
I was just having a lot of fun. I just didn't really want to care. That was a fun summer. We was just, like, chilling a lot. So that identity is more, hey, let's have a good time. Let's be a little bit more. I know a lot of it wasn't based in lust, but that's probably one of the few songs that is, and just like having fun.
Yeah, like the vibe I get from that song is like, I mean, it starts with the first words, like, I don't want to keep it quiet with you. It's like, I'm applying pressure right now. Like, if you're trying to be sneaky, that's not me. I ain't trying to be quiet.
Right. <know? laughs> What about, let's talk about Can't Swipe Away. Mm-hmm. And I also say, like, one of your kind of directions for us with making the show was, you're like, this is Reds. I see a lot of Reds here. Yeah. Can you kind of expand on that?
We had a really magical show April 4th for We the Roses. That was probably the first time we really did Can't Swipe Away for real. But then also living and seeing someone's interpretations. Mm. And they were doing a lot of Red, the lighting people.
Mm.
Figured, and the way it worked. And again, the beginning and the end are extremely minor keys, very dark, like Soul's playing these, like, they're very, like, brooding notes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it turns into a sort of rock thing. So just leans itself towards, like, more Reds, a little bit more like Rage.
What elements of, like Rage are in that song?
Man, just like, as opposed to feeling like, all right, it's romantic, like, you know, I couldn't leave you. Where, like, how can we turn romance into passion? I guess we can take rage out of it. More passion, more impassioned, and more like, you know, like I mean this. Like I really can't leave you, you know what I'm saying? I really can't get away.
What's the can't swipe away part of it?
Like, you know, you're on your phone, you see somebody swipe bad, and you're like, dang, like,
can't swipe, but you see it, you're like, I can't. You know,
yeah,
you know, like, man, I would if I could.
I can't. You know. If I tried, I tried to still can't deny it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's a very digital age idea.
I wanted to go with it. I love the George Clinton had this digital good time thing in this Outkast joint on synthesizer. I'm like, yo, there was a line that was like, they're lap dancing with your laptop while your laptop's in your lap. Digital good time.
Wow.
And, like, we don't utilize our phones. Like, we be using our phones all the time, but, like, we don't really write songs about, like, what we do on our phones in a way that's not coy and, like, stupid.
Right. So, yeah. What about More Than You Know?
Oh, man, that's probably the most, like, us thing.
So More Than You Know is the most us thing that you've done.
Shout out Dilip. Dilip is the creator of the beat. But again, like, we're just taking this thing. We made the bridge. I don't know how we made the bridge.
Was it just like a jam that kind of turned into something?
We just wanted to break all the rules when we made this bridge.
Yeah. Where can we go with it for real?
Yeah, like for me, on bass, on the bridge of More Than You Know, like, I'm going against everything that I've learned playing bass.
Which is really?
Like being locked in with the drums.
He's got the hardest
locked
part.
In with the rest of the band. On the bridge of this song, I'm ahead of the band. I'm doing things before the band gets there. On purpose, and that's hard to do.
I bet.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's count. Whenever y'all do watch it, like, notice his counting and notice what he's doing, because, like, Daniel is absolutely the driver of the bridge. It's kind of insane. I don't know who knows real theory and stuff, but he's just moving in a pocket that's really interesting. I don't know how it was created in that regard. I think we just kind of worked in tandem with it, but we got something that works.
Yeah.
The song is technically in 10-4 time.
Okay.
It's not in 5-4 time. But then it's also in 3-1-2-3-4. Yeah, it's in like 3-4 time. So it goes from 10-4 to 3-4 in a section. If you like music.
Yeah, if you study, you're a nerd, you're going to like this.
Bro, if you like counting, if you're like, okay, what's up with this counting? We did it. We did an acoustic version. I felt like it wasn't even that great. Not you, but like, you know what I'm saying? And like, We was in Winston and we were chilling. And shout out to Trumbull and Shorty's people. Mm. They were like, yo, bro, that song in like 5/4, yo. So you get things like that, it really affirms. It's like, okay, musicians like it too.
Yeah, especially come from Trumbo and Shorty.
It's love.
Yeah, his gosh.
Like, it was all love from him, yeah.
That's really cool. So what about 120? I will say, like, there's a really interesting vibe going on with 120.
Something about 120, I'm telling you, bro. My friend Roebuck, he's like, yo, 120, bro. I think that's low-key. Yeah, it's a lot of people's favorites. I love that song. Shout out to Kid Rico. That was more so Daniel and I basing off what the producer made. He had such a vast instrumental. Mm-hmm. It was just, yeah. That was one of the few times I'm just kind of shocked at what he proposed. And we are just following Kid Rico in that regard. I can't imagine we've switched up a lot.
This is one of the only songs we play almost pretty much just like the track.
Yeah, and we haven't really played it. Mm. We added this in the set because it made sense.
Yeah.
But the last time I can recall us playing it,
acoustic.
Yeah.
We did an acoustic set with it.
We did a live one time with like four people.
So tell me a little bit more about how it just makes sense. What is the essence of 120 and why did it fit sort of this show?
I think it's a really intimate song where it feels kind of intimate. I like the words as well. I don't know. Like some things just people really resonate with the way it feels and the message that you're getting at.
What is it? What are the words like for you that resonate so much? Like what is something that really hits home for you?
I said shattered glass, heart is twice that. Every F was a fix. Every fix was a fight back. Removing my disguises, painkillers for our vices. I feel like I'm really just trying to like profess my love to someone. And in that verse, I think I'm just talking about all the ways I've like changed and how this person is changing me. I just think it's a really nice song. And it works for a lot of unplugged kind of feels. And I feel like this is a good time to like take it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have like a little nice little moment. It depends on what we have. If we got 45 minutes, if we got 30 minutes, if we got 20 minutes, you just adjust.
Yeah. So you feel like you're really like, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It feels like something where you could say, like, this is really me. Like, this is an identity thing. Like, I'm coming out and I'm really trying to lay this down. Like, this is a huge part of who I am.
120, More Than You Know are definitely, they work in tandem as, like, I feel, if you would, identity pieces for real. Mm-hmm. Like, our artistic kind of moves. A lot of songs are great and groovy, but I think those are, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Those ones.
Speaking of groovy, this is my transition to Bedroom Hollywood, which is far out, right?
Thanks. Like,
what is the intention of Bedroom Hollywood?
Oh, man, I was 23, very young. I made that beat, shout out.
Really to yourself.
Yeah, that was all me, shout out.
shout out to your mom.
That was definitely a point. Again, in that reaching phase, there are those ages. I just felt like it was a lot of like perpetrating and trying to be like important and cool and stuff. I think I felt I was seeing a lot of that at the ages of 21 to 23. Not that I was above it either, but that I felt myself changing. And I also felt like people wanted me to like do some stuff and make some sort of type of records. That's when I really started feeling that. So Bedroom Hollywood was just like, yo, I think everybody's like, everyone thinks they're the bee's knees. We all just chilling in our bedroom. Like everybody think they so, you know, we really get caught up in ourselves sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it can come off as pretentious now because I don't like to talk down to people. But at the same time, I think I was more so speaking to like, yo, I'm not going to let people turn me into like a, I'm concerned with myself kind of monster. I'm not going to let myself get caught up in myself.
Yeah. What's it like to, for y'all to like play that now? What's it feel like to play it now?
Now that we have soul.
It's really like a break in the set for me.
Straight up.
If you feel good with soul playing, because you let him talk it in. Yeah.
Yeah, soul has taken what was once funk and rock and kind of, I'm not saying we country, but like I got that thing a little bit more. Mm. Like I got a little twanginess about me.
Yeah.
Joe actually got more. Joe, our other guitarist, he probably got more soul and church in his licks.
Hmm.
straight up. But
that boy play Kojic.
He be playing Kojic. But Joel, especially Terrence, like, way more jazz. So it takes all the styles. I think soul has really turned bedroom into more of like a jazzy affair, which is cool. Mm. I prefer it kind of like that too. I think it matches the song too.
Yeah.
Feels kind of dreamy.
What about We You Need?
Oh, I love when people, I love that. So yeah, that's what I get for typing stuff funny. So it's called When You Need, but I see why people be like we.
Yeah, also, yeah.
You know, that little N be a little disguising.
Also, I'll be honest with you, I think that's just me being dumb.
But you'd be surprised, bro. So many people be like, we.
So we the weed.
That is the banger. I felt like when I made that song, I was out of here. And when we started playing that song, it's out of here. We have played it so many times too fast. And then ended the song and brought it back slow. Mm. And it was a knocker.
Yeah.
So once Daniel got like, because again, I wanted him to play more like Tobias made it. And again, Tobias likes to make a lot of his basses really behind the beat, because I'd be preferring that. Mm. But again, you can't, you know, the drum and basses really have to be in some sort of accord with that regard.
Right.
So instead of trying to make that happen, we tried to turn it a little bit faster. That didn't work. So then we were like, yo, let's kind of turn it reggae.
Mm. So you think there's more of a reggae feel to this one?
Now? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we did that, because it lends and leads to more people being able to participate in the song. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, they love to sing it.
Yeah.
That's another song. But I feel like When You Need, probably last year, that's when it was just knockers. I wrote this song 2021 though. Let some people get up in my head. Ain't really work on it or play it in 2022.
Right.
We didn't really do it at all.
Really?
And I was telling you, I was like, where is it at? I was like, bro, we need to do this song.
Shout out Fonte, because Fonte was like, yo, you need to put When You Need out.
Shout out.
Like, okay.
And Fonte from Little Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out. So I'm glad I listened to him on that, because he was facts. Like, he was right. And everywhere we do, every time we do, I try to put it at the end, because that's like the money, mm-hmm. to us at least. And people can, you know, get their little jig on if they want to go ahead, head home at 11. You know,
yeah.
It's getting late.
It's just a real good sing-along song.
Like, yeah.
After you hear that hook about three times, you want to sing it too. So. Mm.
So you have fun playing it now too.
Yeah, I feel a lot better. That back half, I can chill a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I can just sing the songs I love. You know, the pressure's up on Can't Swipe Away and More Than You Know, because we got to deliver.
Right.
But those back half songs we've been doing for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know when we started playing Bedroom for real. Even when we were in the trio, I don't know, but I just feel like When You Need, like, we've been doing that for forever, you know, we haven't.
Yeah.
So we have Slow on here.
Slow.
Man.
Tell me about that.
NC State know about this song.
Slow is the OG.
Shout out to the pack.
Shout out to the pack. I wrote this song. I didn't do a song. I don't know when we did it, Dan, but I know the first time we really started doing it was 2015. And, you know, we just had the call and response. Yep. We'll be doing the Be Patient joint. when Kaylani was supposed to perform at school, and then something happened. So we had to be the headliners, but ain't nobody really want to see us. And
we did
Slow. And that was the only song people got up for. They end up, I forget who it was. Acoustic. Shout out to her.
We was acoustic and we had backup singers.
And we had backup singers and we was just trying to thug it out, bro. We were 20 trying to make a way. But somebody, I forget her name, shout out to black women. But she just, it's like she knew we were suffering. And she was like, you know what? So then she made everybody get up. And then I think that was when that song really started to have a life. We did Packapalooza 2016. And that's when we really started doing that song.
Yeah.
That whole call and response thing. And then after a while, we did up until 2019. We'd always do it at Emerge. Shout out to Emerge when it was still around.
Emerge was awesome.
That was
Emerge
a really cool venue, man.
Really cool space.
I hate that it is gone, because that was the place.
Yeah. Especially if you just want to go out and try something, right?
Yeah.
If you just want to like, and be in good community with people, like shout out Fernando, Matt, everybody used to work there. We used to be up in there. Anyway. We gotten tired of the song, because it felt kind of played out. We were like, all right, this feels kind of a little bit elementary to what we want to develop to. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, now we're doing songs in different time signatures. Like, we didn't want to do no 4-4 song. Like, it's lame. Mm. So I don't know what compelled us to do it. Was it Artists Against Apartheid, or was it a show before
that?
We
did it before Artists Against Apartheid. We did it before the Seeker set, too. I think we did, like, a show before that.
Facts.
I forgot what show that was.
But somebody at Sika in June, they asked us to do it because I think we had introduced it.
That was the...
It was Sika?
It was Sika.
Somebody was like, yo, can you do that song?
Yes, it was Sika. And then we just told the band to follow us.
Yeah. I didn't want to do it at all.
Mm. So it kind of just happened then.
We just reintroduced the song this summer. Like,
that's really cool.
A month and a half ago.
And every time we do it, they love it.
Nuts. We don't understand. We don't understand at all. Like, I don't know. It's just like we used to do this in our sleep almost to the point where it's like, all right, this feels childish.
But it's got a second life now.
Some about it is really resonant. Like, everybody get up on their feet for real, for real. And like, yeah, everybody got up at Sika. Artists Against Apartheid, we didn't know what was going on.
They wouldn't let us get off the stage.
For real. Wow. We was packing up and somebody drove around like, beep, hey. I mean, he was just driving, singing. We like, dang.
Okay. I think that we kind of felt like we might have outgrown the song or something. And you know, sometimes when you feel like something is used up, you're actually missing out on the value of it, you know? You might be not appreciating what it really is because you've done it so much. You just had it, so.
Right.
It's a real 10 years old. Like, we were really pushing that song in 2016, like, yo, this is everything. So for it to be having a life of its own again is interesting.
Mm. Y'all, thank you for coming in and doing this. I wanted to kind of end this with asking you all if there's anything else that you would like to add just to our listeners and to our audience at home. Is there anything that you'd like to say or... give you all the space to do that.
I'd say do what you love, love what you do, and they'll love you back. And find the people that you can trust and take them all the way with you.
Yeah, thank y'all for having us. There's a lot of things I feel like I could say right now, but I'm just thankful for this opportunity. We are going to continue to shed light on all marginalized and oppressed peoples across this nation, across this world. Do know that we are not artists that are going to stand for that nonsense.
Not at all.
And we can express that a little bit clearer in other ways, but you will get the gist of what we mean. Thank y'all, and we're just going to keep rocking it out.
Thank you.
That sounds great. All righty. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
That's it.
Pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on the Shaped by Sound podcast. If you'd like to hear some of the songs we discussed today, you can find them on our website at pbsnc.org/shapedbysound. Or find us on the PBS North Carolina YouTube page. Thanks for listening.